All right, let's change the subject just for a little while here and talk to Chris Holtmann, the head coach of the DePaul men's basketball team. Coach, welcome back. You're on WGN.
Yeah, it's good to be with you guys.
Yeah, thanks for giving us a little of your time. You guys are going to be playing next week. Are the kids practicing every day? What's it like for you all right now?
Yeah, it's, you know, they are. It's a little bit of a different time. There's a gap in between, as you know, there's a gap in between our conference tournament, the Big East, ending, which was another incredible Big East tournament in Madison Square Garden. We beat Georgetown and lost to Creighton in double overtime. But the tournament in general was, you know, sold out as usual, a phenomenal tournament. But there's a gap between that and this tournament, which is a new tournament that Fox is putting on. It's primarily teams from the Big East, Big 12, and Big 10 conferences, along with a couple other teams like Boise State that was a bubble team. It's 16 teams out in Vegas, and the games begin next Monday.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I believe I told you before, I'm a season ticket holder, and I've followed the team and the conference. And, boy, your praise for the Big East tournament just does speak to how good the teams are there and how incredible that last game was that you guys played against Creighton. You lost in double overtime. And it was just such a fantastic effort by your kids and so heartbreaking that they lost because – I don't know if you would consider this a turnaround season, but it was such a better season for the program.
Yeah.
And I wondered what you said to the kids then in the locker room after that game. What was that like?
Yeah, well, again, thanks for being a season ticket holder, John. We appreciate it, your support, and the fact that you've, you know, watched. We had the second largest attendance increase in the Big East this year, next to St. John's. It was St. John's and us that had the second largest. So it was overall the second largest attendance increase. We had a pretty seismic attendance growth from last season, which obviously we weren't here for, but last season to this season, it was a huge jump in overall attendance. So we thank you and all of our season ticket holders and everybody who came and watched us play at Wintrust this year, because it really was in a great environment that was being created. And, it was just great to have that energy around the program. But to your point, it was a phenomenal game. People that have watched the Big East tournament said it was one of the best games they've watched. They thought it was the best game of this past tournament, our game versus Creighton. It was a double overtime game. And as a coach, you know, you can look at it a couple of different ways. That one's going to sit with me for a while because we certainly had our opportunities to win that game and advance to the semifinals for the first time in DePaul's history. And those are not easy, you know, to win in the Big East is tournament is not an easy thing to do. So to have advanced in the semifinals would have been phenomenal. But, you know, I just reflected with our guys after that game that was, again, so dramatic. I just reflected on really how proud of them I was for how we had finished the season. We were playing our best basketball. We had won 3 out of 4 down the stretch, won a road game at Providence, just talk to them about, hey, we are potentially in play to play in one of these postseason tournaments. But as you know, it's a little bit hard for kids to wrap their minds around that at that point. But we did talk to them briefly about that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they did get better every game, evidenced by the games that you won at the end of the season there. And the thing that my son and I would talk about when we would watch what was happening on the court, and then we would watch you, was that they never quit playing for you. You must have continued to own the locker room, and it would be so easy for kids to let down or to throw a face, and they just, you know, that's, I'm sorry you guys didn't win more games. You must feel the same way, but I got to tell you, you renewed my faith in the team, the program, and humanity, sir. That was just, that was really fun to watch this year.
Well, thank you so much for saying that. The number of times that has been communicated to us has been honestly really rewarding. Listen, you know, the program won three games the year before we got here. We're sitting at 14 wins right now. We know this is not our end game goal. Everybody understands that. But for year one to take that kind of a step, we had the largest improvement of any team in the country by a metric called Ken Pomeroy. Ken Palm. It was the largest improvement from last year to this year of any program in Division One.
Yeah.
So to your point, I think people saw the improvement on the floor, and it created an energy that was really important. So thank you for saying that.
And you did that with players that had not been in the program last year, which makes me worry about the program next year. I understand that Blocker, Benson, and Gunn are coming back. Can you confirm that? And is there anybody else who you know you're losing? Enright is in the portal. Rivera's coming back, I think.
Rivera is graduated.
Yeah, he's out.
Phenomenal. Isaiah Rivera, Troy D'Amico, you mentioned our locker room staying together and always competing, and they deserve so much credit for that. Isaiah's a local kid that played at Illinois Chicago. He was phenomenal.
Yeah, he was fun.
Keeping our group together. But he's graduated, as has David Skogman has graduated, and Troy D'Amico. So we had three seniors. We will have a couple other players returning. I think we're going to have a very good core returning. You mentioned three guys that start a lot of games for us, Layden Blocker, N.J. Benson, C.J. Gunn. And those three will be returning, as along with a couple other players that will be released here soon. So it's a good core and nucleus returning into next year.
Do the kids talk to you, say, hey, coach, I'm thinking about going into the portal? Or do other kids from other schools approach you and say, hey, I'm coming into the portal and will you take me? What's the communication you have with players in your program or other programs that you might acquire?
It's all of that. I believe, you know, the best policy right now is just to be really transparent in this day and age where kids can transfer at any moment. So what I ask for is just honesty and transparency with kids. There's a time and a place for those conversations. They normally happen towards the end of the season or after the season. But I really believe in being transparent, you know, with kids. We had a young man that, you know, didn't play a whole lot towards the end of the season. I met with him right after we lost and said, hey, I understand you're going to want to go where you can play a bigger role. We support you in that. We want you to finish this well. You can come around and work out as much as you want to. But we know we want you to go find a situation where you can play more. So there's, as long as the situations are transparent, then we end the relationship in really good standing.
Well, can you call a kid, coach, and say, hey, we're going to have a slot and we'd really like you to get in the portal or you're in the portal? I mean, do you recruit that way?
We have been getting calls all season from coaches or people who are no players, but not the kids themselves, because they're not able to, you know, talk to a coach until they enter the transfer portal, which just opened this past Monday.
Who are you getting calls from? Do you have can you drop any names on us?
Not at this point, because it's such a it's such a fluid thing right now. But we're going to be adding to your larger question probably is how many will we bring in? And I would assume we have two really good freshmen coming in that our fans are going to love watching, just love watching. Isaiah Medina, 7-footer. And Cruz McClure, a big point guard, they're going to love watching these two freshmen. We'll probably bring in four or five players via the transfer portal. And we're hard at work at that early morning until late at night putting that together now.
You should call Cooper Flagg. He is really good. Except he won't be in college basketball. I don't know. The guy, is Cooper going to play college basketball next year? Do we know?
Cooper will likely be the number one overall draft pick in the NBA. So the money that he's going to get, he will start his NBA career here very shortly.
And what do you make of the money the kids are getting in NIL right now? And how does DePaul compete with that?
Well, that's a great question. Our administration, Dwayne Peavy, who hired me, President Rob, who hired me, they're really committed to us being competitive. We understand we're never going to be a program that offers more money than everybody else. That's we understand that, but they do understand we need to be competitive in the NIL market. The money that you're hearing across the board, you hear figures like, you know, $500,000 for this player, $2 million for this player. Often those numbers can be exaggerated. Sometimes they're even over 2 years, but there are times where the numbers are accurate. Where it's a couple hundred thousand or more. The numbers right now are very large, what you're hearing. Now, again, every program has a finite, amount of money, so eventually that's going to to probably come down to a lower average. But
sure. Well, can you tell me how much money you guys have to give either to a single player or to your team overall?
Yeah. So, it's a really good question. I appreciate you asking. I wouldn't want to get into specifics because it's a pretty confidential thing in terms of what players can make in our program. I would tell you is players in the Big East, really the range can be anywhere between, $150,000 for a player in the Big East to, I heard there was a player in the Big East this past year that made 1.5. So the range is pretty wide.
Some of your kids are getting that much though, $150,000?
No. I would tell you that our kids are not getting, that 1.5, that was the price tag last year for, I think, an all Big East player. But yeah, the numbers are across the board. We've had players that are not getting that six-figure number, and some that are. Yeah. That's the reality of college basketball.
One last thing. Who's in your Final Four?
I think you mentioned Cooper Flagg. I think as long as he stays healthy, Duke would be my front runner to probably win it all. And I don't have a bracket in front of me, but, I'm close with Tom Izzo at Michigan State. I'd love to see him get to another Final Four, and I think he's got a team capable of doing that. I think Florida is really good, and I also like Auburn. Again, they may be in the same bracket, but those are four teams I really like.
I could have come up with that bracket, Coach. I mean, come on.
Yes, you could have. Hey, I was too busy watching my own team, so I wasn't watching all the college basketball.
Keep watching them and coaching them, and we'll see you next year, and we'll see you on TV next week. Thank you, Coach.
Sounds great. Great being on with you.
Chris Holtman is the head coach at DePaul. Okay, I'm late for the news. That's my little favorite topic there.